Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hi, everybody. This is Pat Sherlock.
Hey, Pat. Bobby Welch here.
Hey, Bobby. Well, we have another great topic today, and I think it's so timely because of certainly production issues that many lenders are having. And it's the issue of how to keep your client, your lender, customer from looking at other lenders. And I think that is kind of the key question that every originator really has to be thinking about. So do you have any thoughts off the bat about this whole issue of clients looking at other lenders, even if you might have dealt with those lenders for a long time, or even if it's someone that you've known for, you know, a fair number of years? But this whole issue of having an offensive and defensive selling strategy really does tie together. So any thoughts?
Yeah. Well, you know, first off, absolutely, because this is really important. I think it was the CFPB released a study, I think it was 2 years ago now, that showed that this happens. You know, in fact, one out of two, 50% of borrowers will apply and will look at more than one lender initially. So there's good news and there's bad news in that. You know, the good news is one out of two, you got them.
Right. That's the positive side.
That's the positive. That's the glass half full.
Right.
And from the CFPB stance, they were actually concerned by this number because they felt like that wasn't necessarily a good thing. But from the sales perspective, obviously, we'd like to see that number higher. We'd like to see more than 50% staying with us. So, you know, I would say that we could actually talk about two things. We should talk about some key ideas that are going to keep them from looking at other lenders and increase that number. But I also think it's important because this is the real world and nothing works 100% of the time. Nothing. Mm-hmm. It's also important to maybe discuss that one of your strategies has to be how to prep them so that in the event they do look at another lender, you fare better.
Well, I think you really have touched on, I think it's a critical issue. I will say that I also think tied to this issue is that it's so important for the originator to be the first one.
Yes.
When you're the first one, that sets the table for setting expectations, as you're talking about. But again, if you're not the first one and you're coming in later, obviously that tends to be that 50% where they are really looking at other people and probably have already made a decision already. So I think the point is being the first one called is always a critical position from a marketing standpoint.
Yep. Yep. And many times we know that we have a lot to do with that because when we get a lead from either one of our agents or maybe from somebody who got a referral from a past client or even maybe offline, the speed on which we reach out is going to typically decide, are we the first one to speak with them or not? And then how available we are when we see an incoming phone call, how good of a job we make sure that we're picking up the phone or somebody on our team is. So absolutely, being that first point of contact when they're looking into a loan, super important.
Well, I think you've raised a really, again, a significant issue, which I have to see from doing so many prospecting training classes. And it's this whole issue of what is the length of time to respond to a lead. And I think what has changed is that it's gotten shorter and shorter. And many originators are really still stuck on if they call back the next day because they are busy working on their pipeline or whatever it is that they have really missed a great opportunity from a customer standpoint because calling back the next day is certainly not a good strategy.
Absolutely. And outside of calling the next day, I think the next biggest goal that you have as an originator is to make sure that you spend some high quality time asking high quality questions early out of the gate. If you allow them to be asking, you know, whoever asks questions inside a conversation, they're actually in control of the conversation. So if during the application process, you're allowing the borrower's questions to drive the conversation, the borrower stays in charge?
Yeah, that's a really another great question. And I do think the question sequence, which you've already mentioned, leads to this issue of high quality questions and not just, you know, 1003 questions.
Yes. Yep. And I'll tell you that when I am asking questions, I'm looking at trying to accomplish a handful of key things with the questions. Now, of course, I'm trying to get answers from the borrowers. I'm trying to learn about their situation. But behind that, these are secondary goals that are really my sales goals. And the thing, what I'm trying to position with the questions is, first off, me as the expert, making sure that I appear to the borrower capable and knowledgeable, and that I'd be a great choice. And believe it or not, the types of questions that you ask, sometimes you show your expertise more with the questions that you're asking and less with the answers that you're giving. And that's a tough shift for some originators to make. But when I make sure that I'm asking a lot of questions and diving deeper than the loan officer who is just trying to get the 1003 out of them, then it becomes very, very different process and experience for the borrower. And that's because you move into my goal number two, which is making sure that the borrower feels understood and that they feel like I know what they're trying to accomplish. I understand their situation and I've got the perfect solution for them and the perfect time frame for them, and I can meet those goals. Once I've got that, then the third big piece I'm trying to make them feel is safe, that I'm a safe choice. Mm-hmm. And that is as simple as making sure that I've been able to slide in there, you know, oh, I had a loan just like this, you know, and here's what we did to fix it. Or believe it or not, it's very good to let them know, you know, based on all of the transactions I've done, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Stevens, your situation is actually very common and it's very normal. And that's a good thing. And here's the reason why. Normal and common situations have common solutions, and here's how I think we should handle your loan. Or based on your goals, these are common goals. There's really two products I think you should look at. And letting them know that there's some normalcy, even if there's something that they're worried about, makes them feel safe and makes them feel like you can get your hands around it and deliver it for them.
Well, is it fair to say, listing all the things that you've mentioned about being understood, the quality of the questions, making the person feel safe, if we could wrap that up all in a sentence, isn't it really about knowing your customer and knowing what they value? I mean, in the end, that's in essence what each originator is challenged to do, even if this is their 10,000th loan, is conveying to the customer that, yes, we know thy customer and we know what you value. And I think that really does capture all of the things that are a strategy to have you not be shopped. But it raises to the next issue, which I think is that too often what I see with originators is they really don't understand and know their competitors' total cost of ownership. In other words, this whole issue of you're being shopped and maybe the customer you weren't able to handle first and you came in at the third one or whatever it is, that you really have to know by heart how each lender essentially kind of prices the loan. And frankly, it's can be very different. And that ability to address those issues, let's say you're competitive, but you're not the lowest price. But then when you add in different fees and different, you know, different costs that another lender might have, that you're able to give to the borrower or consumer a picture that they haven't, you framed the issue, which the faster you do that, the more impactful. So when you get shopped, at least you're having it apples to apples versus if you let the borrower on their own make their own assessment, they really don't understand APR. I remember one time, actually a few years ago, where I was in a room teaching something about sales training, and I posed the question, explain APR to me. And really, literally, and these were all mortgage people, actually it was a Fannie Mae program, so these were veterans, and not one of the people could actually explain APR. So when you think about that, no, it's not surprising, but I'm just saying, when you let the borrower up to their own devices, they're not going to really understand all of our issues and our terminology. So it's important from my viewpoint that understanding the customer and handling what they value and identifying through that quality questions, that's certainly your foundation and you have to have that in place. But you also have to understand what you're competing against and be able to convey to the borrower issues that they may not have thought of. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, using APR to compare quotes is an interesting dilemma for a couple of reasons. First off, you don't get an APR until after you've applied, which means they have to go through the application process with, right, with two folks most of the time, at least enough information so right, that the lender can create a quote. And there's a significant time investment in that. And those things often happen on different days, not necessarily all at this on the same day, depending on how fast the borrower is moving. So one of the first things, that's part of making a borrower feel safe, is that you've got to spend some time explaining, hey, here's what the process looks like. Here are some common challenges borrowers find, like when they're shopping, here's some common challenges. And I just want to let you know, here they are. And the second problem with an APR is that they're not all even calculated the same. And right, people say, well, no, but the system calculates it for me. You know how many times, even in recent history with the LOSs as sophisticated as they are, that I've compared and you see that a lender's not including a fee that you are. Or heaven forbid, I worked for a company for a period of time where our system was glitching and it turns out all the prepaids, all of them, everything were being lumped into the APR, 100%. Right. And that was skewing it. Now it was just a glitch. So it gets really, really dicey. If you ever get to a point where the borrower is using the APR or the fees to determine that they're going to do business with you, you're already in a tough position. You've already let it get a little bit too late in the game. And I don't recommend that. You want them to be making the decision to use them long before that. And within this, by the way, again, remember, guys, nothing works 100% of the time. So I can already hear some of the negative Nellies on there, you know, talking about, you know, Mr. Ajax and how he grilled him. And Bobby, what you just said, you know, there's no way I couldn't have kept him from doing it. That's true. Your goal as a salesperson, when you're finding ways to close, is if you can improve your close rate just 20%, that's a big difference in your paycheck. It's not about making sure that no borrower ever does it. It's about putting things in place that you don't find yourself there very often. I think Hunt's Ketchup, the Heinz company, they did a survey that showed that 2% of grocery shoppers would pick the cheapest brand of any product, even if it tasted worse. There's nothing you can do about that 2%.
Right.
They're going to take you there.
Right.
But one of the things that that brings up, and it's really the way I like to close my applications when I'm working with somebody, is to, through an approach that feels educational, make sure that they understand the gravity of their decision. And the way that I like to do that is by just asking them a couple of questions. And one of my favorite questions to ask them is, you know, has your real estate agent explained to you how important it is that we close on time and what happens to the earnest money and what happens to even potentially your ability to buy the property if we don't hit that? Do you understand the repercussions? And then tell them, so there's a handful of things that tend to delay closings the most. And the good news is about 80% of those can be prevented by the lender. And then I'll tell them, like, by the way, the number one reason that a loan closes late is it sits on the loan officer's desk too long. Why do I know that? Because data, we've been able to go in and we'll see that a loan will sit on a loan officer's desk for 14 days, mm-hmm, chewing up contract time. And then it's got to be rushed through underwriting and all of that. I talk to the borrowers about that. The number one thing that makes it late is the loan officer holding onto the file too long. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds crazy, but that's the number one problem that most companies face. In our company, I'm expected to have the file into underwriting in 5 days or 7 days or whatever the goal is. That allows us to close on time. And here's what I need from you, Mr. Borrower, to do that. Now, the second thing that has things run late is, and the third thing is, and just go through a handful of things. Now, it allows you to explain your process and how you do things to stay on time, but it also starts to make them feel safe with you and underline the gravity of the decision so that when they talk to somebody else, it puts them in an inferior position because you've now educated it and underlined it with them. Does that make sense?
I think it does. And I think you're just reemphasizing that you are really understanding your own process, but also your competition's, which is, I think what I see so often at originators really aren't understanding how the pricing is being set by another lender. And so these issues of making a comparison, they really aren't that comfortable with, which leads to this, that the borrower can't figure out, you know, how are you different? And when someone tells me a cheaper price, are they really cheaper, is certainly the point. Well, I think that leads us to the next issue of what I would call kind of the primary one about how do you keep a client from looking at other lenders, is really understanding and having a unique selling proposition. Too often, I really see where originators kind of stumble on this. What is it that you as an originator are bringing to the plate? Is it the product? Well, I would argue that everybody has similar products. It really is this issue about service levels and what are you providing that another originator isn't doing. And so understanding and revising on a continuous basis what is your unique selling proposition is an activity that I think originators don't do enough.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's because they overcomplicate it.
Right.
You know, we think this USP has to be something earth shattering. We think it has to, like, you know, like we have to be the Amazon or the, I'm trying to think of, the Apple of mortgage lending. And we don't. You know, here's the deal, guys. The mortgages are an inconvenient step to what they really want, which is the house.
Good point.
And so the USP can be as simple as letting them know the two or three things that you're going to provide them during the process that they can count on you for. And they may be super vanilla sounding to you because you're doing, you know, 5, 6, 10 loans a month. But to the borrower, these, it is a USP and it's important. You know, we always used to like to tell them, hey, look, you know, there's three things that I want to make sure that you get out of your loan process with me. First off is I want to close you on the exact terms that we talk about in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So that the terms that, you know, the rate and the cost that we have in the beginning, that's what you have at the end. So we'll have to do a little bit of work to make sure that takes place. And I'll walk you through how we're going to do it. The second thing I'm going to give you is complete transparency throughout the process. So you always know where your loan is at, what's happening, and how that affects the final outcome, which is your closing date. And then the third one is I want to give you peace of mind. I want to make sure that throughout the entire process, you're as calm as you can be and that the experience is as cool as it can be. How does that sound to you?
Right. Well, they're all great points. And in fact, we're getting down to our final couple minutes. If we want to kind of wrap up, you know, some takeaways for our listeners today about how to prevent your consumer going to another lender and in essence shopping you. Any thoughts to summarize it?
Yeah. Just remember that inside the questions, you know, first off, ask a ton of questions. Always remember the person asking questions is the person in control of the conversation. And so ask it. And then know that for every question that you're asking, you want to position not just so that you're getting information back for the application, but that you are positioning yourself as safe, the expert in the field, and that you have understood and can deliver their needs.
Well, I think I think for anyone listening today, I think Bobby has really stated the critical points. Anything else that you'd like to add before we end our podcast today?
No, I think that's about it.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining, and certainly we appreciate you joining us today and look forward for you attending another one of our podcasts. Thanks a lot.
See you, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.